is the Sounding Board Podcast with Hachi and Damo. Thanks to Drinkwise. If you're choosing to have a drink, choose to Drinkwise.
Nice to have your company on the Sounding Board for Drinkwise. If you're choosing to drink, choose to Drinkwise. This is the sixth episode of this Series 9 of the Sounding Board for Drinkwise, and I'm under instruction off the top today. Craig Hutchison has just walked into this South Bank studio and said, come to me straight away. I've got some housekeeping to attend to.
Some housekeeping, yes, Damo. Things that aren't necessarily, you know, lead worthy, but we just get them out of the way. It's a Monday early record, and some of these things are time sensitive to an early in the week. It's a Monday afternoon. What time check is it? About 3 o'clock?
4 o'clock.
I've just walked back in from Sydney from the weekend, and you were here. So first of all, a few things. Point number one, I did watch your return to Footy Classified last Wednesday. I'm back tonight.
You are. Yep.
This is ill-timed given the Jack Jumpers and the Wildcats are playing at the same time.
Are they on tonight?
Oh, my
goodness.
No. Disaster. Oh, we'll come to that. Yeah. There's been a long-held Channel 9 ban on beards.
Has there?
At 9. Yeah, goes back in the 9 for a long time.
Really?
I went to them 4 years ago and during COVID thought, this is my chance. You know, COVID, everyone's guard's down. I'll seek an exemption based upon the circumstances of the time and the fact that I'm in physical decline, so it might be a good thing to create a beard distraction.
A physical decline.
No hair, beard distraction. And I've got away with it ever since. And I've prided myself on being the only approved beard on the 9 network.
I'd never analysed it this way.
Last Wednesday, without seeking any approval from me.
Did I need it from you?
At all. As the only, you've gone down the mimic route.
And what I'm copying you.
You bobbed up Wednesday and again yesterday with a TV bid.
I did seek higher authority on it.
Did you write and ask for formal approval from Sydney?
No, but
like I did.
I broached the topic in the off season, and I didn't get any resistance to it.
You broached it with whom?
People that I needed to broach it with. The
You're approaching it with Jam. They're a bit one removed.
No, it wasn't Jam. No, it was 9. I did it with 9.
So you went straight to 9 and said,
I didn't make the phone call for that reason, but it was an awareness and no pushback at all. In fact, weirdly enough, Hutchie, it's been well received. As weird as that sounds,
I didn't mind the. I thought it looked good, but I was just a little offended that I wasn't asked given the courtesy. Given I
am, by me or 9?
Well, I'm the only approved beard. So I would have thought that when you're going to start getting into my honey smacks, that you would have come to me and actually said, how would you feel if there was a sort of two-bit assault on the network? Well, I would have considered it, but I was just disappointed I didn't get asked for...
If we're on the same show as we were there for a few years, I may not have even bothered with it.
Yep. And this, because...
They both got grey.
Because of the shiny new toys arrived...
Oh,
in Tom.
The shiny new
Was this
toy?
Your attempt to remind everyone? I feel this is your attempt to say, this is a what about me bid.
Oh, yeah.
I feel it's your attempt to say, hey, don't forget the 17-time AFMA winner over here as the shiny new toy arrives. Like, I still know my way around. And don't think you're going to be replacing me on the set on a Sunday anytime soon.
What about that shiny new toy? I've never seen anything like this. The last time I saw something that resembled this was Tim Cleary's Love of Your Good Self. And the whole, would it be mid-2000s to, I'd say it lasted a good 6, 7, maybe 8, 9, 10. Oh, well, it lasted a while. I've never seen this. I think this has trumped the love that you once had in that network.
No, you recall I eased out of that and brought you in to replace me. I actually turned it into a toy factory there for a while.
You made me the shiny toy there for a while. didn't last an episode.
This toy's a little bit stuffed, but before it gets completely stuffed, let's see if we can bring some new ones in. So the we've talked about it at length. We'll come back to Tom a little bit later on because I was there at the season launch. I was privy to some of the media awards. We'll come back to that.
Yep.
That's housekeeping number one.
Right. So is that a bit?
Housekeeping number two. I had an email from Media Watch today, and I returned their call saying that they were following up on our NRL.
Wasn't about me again, was it?
Well, I thought when I saw Media Watch in my inbox, I thought, oh, Damo, it's sports bit again. What's he done?
What's he done?
He's gone and done himself a content shoot or something with Kane Corns. But no, it was about our tongue-in-cheek reaction to the NRL coverage of Vegas and how the journalists who'd been paid to go we're creating good coverage. Not paid to go, but
it was amazing
paid
how
for.
There was not one bit of negativity.
So we were having a laugh.
And we were having a laugh.
And from memory, I said it was good business and
you did say
genius from the NRL. So the Media Watch was seeking answers as to whether any of our guys had been paid to go. And they were disappointed to hear that no, there weren't anyone from us.
Now, this, though, you're talking, as you've already time coded, at 4:10 p.m. on this Monday.
Yep.
Media Watch doesn't go to air until about 9:20 on a Monday.
Who knows whether it makes the cut or not, but Yeah, apparently.
So are you going to be quoted?
Well, they want to use a clip of us, so I hope it's a fair edit. I'm sure it will be. I hope they use that voice that you like, you know.
The Media Watch voice? Yeah. I think we used the Media Watch voices in that clip, didn't we?
And I did say that I thought it was a great business from the NRL to take journalists.
Well, you
and
do.
And if any of our team had been offered to go and paid for, I'd have said, fantastic, go for it and cover away. Because you do get a first-hand experience when you're there, Damo.
Your mind goes straight to where the dollar is, and you would have seen the dollar in that arrangement.
No, not necessarily. I would have been supportive of us getting involved, and we weren't invited. And the third one was the third thing that's the housekeeping.
What housekeeping?
We've had tent watch going on with you. You're back in the tent at North Melbourne. I saw some key North Melbourne officials at the launch. I did question how the tent was going. And I've also been very critical of those that get brought back into the tent and become complicit. So you, of course, famously went to the North Melbourne briefing. I was a bit suspicious this morning when I saw on AFL.com you tipped Geelong in every single category in the year. You think they're going to make the grand final. You think Jeremy Cameron's going to win the Norm Smith. You think so-and-so's going to win the All-Australian.
No, I've tipped Cameron for the Norm Smith, but yeah.
And then track watchers tell me that all those – you said – I saw in the profile in the paper too, you had Ollie Henry in the All-Australian or Most Improved or something.
Jeez, you don't miss anything, do you?
So then I thought, this is weird. How's Geelong? And I'm thinking, how's – and then a track watcher told me, you sat – and watched a training session only recently.
I have volunteered with Chris Scott. I have volunteered that publicly.
So it wasn't with Chris.
Don't give me this rubbish about a track watcher. I have volunteered
you've
that publicly.
You sat down with Chris. You've watched training. Ollie Henry's going, well, Cameron could be in for his best year. Yeah, I agree. You'll bounce back. And all of a sudden, every single opinion you've had on AFL.com today is all about Geelong because you watched one training session.
Oh, yeah, that's how it works.
Talk about a rubber arm.
Well, I don't know
how easily have you been influenced
the
back in the tent?
The reaction to me thinking Geelong or predicting Geelong to go okay in 2024. I did the same thing in 2022, Hutchie. Everyone laughed at
every
me.
Category.
And they won a flag. And everyone laughed at me then.
Have you sat down with all 18 coaches in the off-season or just Chris Scott to watch training?
We had this discussion last week. I've sat down with, I won't say most, but a lot. And there's one that I won't ever speak to and with. But I've done the rounds a fair bit.
You've sat down in the grandstand with Chris. Yeah, nodded along. Yeah, good point, Chris. Yep. And you're back in the Geelong tent. Unbelievable.
You're a Cats man. Where do you think they'll go?
This is my question to the Hawks insiders out there. How do you feel about this? Is Damo being unfairly influenced by his willingness to be complicit and being brought into the media tent?
Do you think Chris Scott would care what
and
I said?
Has Sam Mitchell, have you sat down with Sam Mitchell?
No.
Well, there you go.
I think I'll get on.
Hawks
okay
insiders, I'm with you.
I don't think I'll
get on. Ash Brown will be up in arms. Brad Klebanski will be there on this. old mate Molly, he'll
Limo.
Be up and about.
Limo's had a chip at me on.
Quarters will give you a clip on socials.
Yeah. Ross Stevenson.
That's my housekeeper. I had to get a few of those things sorted on the,
all right.
We got going.
I don't know where to start, Hutchie, but in no particular order. Rupert Murdoch is engaged again.
Is he?
And 92 years of age.
Good on him.
Yeah. No, I'm happy for him. As I was last time he was engaged and the time before that.
Why have you given this early prominence?
I would like to read a comment piece about it in the News Limited papers, but it's hard to find in News Limited. I had to go outside of News Limited to find out that he's engaged at 92.
He owns it. He can do what you want with it.
And look, as I said, last time he got engaged and the time before that, I'm really happy for him to be engaged and living life the way he wants to. But I would think, though, if it wasn't the person it was, I think that certain organisation would like to explore all those engagements and
We're on an entirely different page on this one. If you are entitled in life to be as happy with who you want,
I'm wrapped for
when
it.
You want.
No, but the paper, the papers that cover these issues would normally be fascinated with a 92-year-old media baron getting engaged for the...
If I was Rupert and I owned that publication, I'd be saying, listen, anyone who reports on this can hit the bricks. So, he's entitled. He's built his whole media empire. He doesn't need to be covered like everybody else if he doesn't want to be.
Alice Costa was giving relationship advice to Taylor Swift and saying that Travis Kelce was going
to
get fat upon retirement and said he's a watch and he's probably not someone she should go out. I'd like to see what Alice Costa thinks about
Damo. It's not the ABC they are committed. Oh, by the way, the ABC though, as our producer Jordan is warming into the role, by the way, pointed out.
He did see this across a couple of hours ago. I like
first this. They hired Fitzy to run the content manager there, which was the first sign, the extra
Mike Fitzpatrick,
very credentialed.
Yes, Triple
producer.
N man.
Yep.
Austereo.
And then they've now gone and done the Daily Mail style catwalk pictures on the ABC today.
Was it off the Oscars? Is that
the Oscars?
Yeah. And was it a good pickup by Jordan?
So the winds of change are coming with the ABC. Next they'll be taking ad deals. Pretty soon they'll be cost centric.
Yeah. Well, you have the view that they work out of a spaceship down there in Sturt Street.
It's like another country. It's like it's
just down the road from your building.
Own postcode.
It's no bigger than your building. Your building. You've got five levels of this building, haven't you?
No, we've got top and bottom, not in the middle.
Top and bottom.
ABC. It's like walking onto the Spirit of Tasmania or something. Like it's extraordinary. And now, a couple other things to get through. By the way, on the news front, we did forecast that you forecast last week that the Michael Miller editorial might be the first step in the biting back at Facebook and Meta on the fact that they've cut all news.
Yep.
Today.
And I just said, follow the money on this.
You did.
That's all you needed to do.
And today, we did forecast that this might turn itself into editorial content pretty quick. Today, there were some extraordinary examples.
In the Oz Media section?
Well,
can you give me your take?
I woke up, I was in Sydney this morning, I woke up, page 5 of the Daily Telegraph.
Yes.
Meta move to hurt ads. Advertisers fear market safety will decline after decision to axe news on Facebook.
Yep.
And they've interviewed Danny Bass, who's a credentialed media buyer.
He seemed a very friendly, News Limited friendly person, Danny. Yep. I did read that.
They think their readers, obviously they are, they think their readers are worried about it might result in a shrinking ad market.
I don't think there'd be one reader that would even care.
And increasing clients' costs. that's a cost of living issue right there on page 5 of the telly. And then the media section of Australian, which I've always admired being unbelievably independent.
Hmm.
And independently today, they've decided to splash with Facebook news tab designed to fail. And when I strip this back, and it's Sophie again, who does a great job, they've identified that the tab on the Facebook page was not given enough prominence so that it could increase enough readership of their story so that they could continue to be paid the inflated fees. So Facebook news tab designed to fail. So the suggestion is this has been a distribution failure from Facebook.
So the fact that no one was clicking wasn't their fault.
And then they've run the Danny story as well, and a picture of Danny. So they've run the same story as the telly. And then there's an opinion piece. Time to tackle Meta is right now on the right. So talk about turning your assets.
Are you ever so slowly coming around to my way of thinking on a few matters? Is that what's happening this year? I feel you're coming closer to where I'm at, Hutchie.
No, we look at things a little differently. What I said to you last week is my overwhelming premise on this is very clear. It is
follow the money.
It puts jobs at risk, right? And we are at I've retired from journalism long ago. You're still a version thereof, but fundamentally, we care about our industry. So, our overwhelming view on this is
yes,
support.
Oh, no, always for the jobs.
I support the pushback on new media because I do think it strikes at the heart of democracy and also of jobs mainly. However, I am...
Democracy was the word that Michael Miller used last week, which I did scoff at.
I am prepared to laugh along a little bit at the means of fight back because it is turning all of your assets over into the response.
Yep.
And I'd love to know how those conversations go at morning prayers, you know, when they get together on Monday morning. So, anyone got any ideas? Yep. I got one. I've got a new angle on this Meta stuff. What is it? Well, you know that tab wasn't easy to find. No, hang on. Wait, you're telling me this could be a distribution issue?
How would the morning prayers go when someone said, I've got a good story. I've got the biggest media baron in the world at 92 is getting engaged again.
Security! Out! Take this man out!
What did you make of
And I don't criticise that, I just laugh along. Yep.
What did you make of the, let's say, reported doctoring of a photo?
Well, this is amazing.
Of Princess Kate.
Two things on this. One, so Princess Kate, AP, Getty and other agencies have sent out a kill request on the photo because they're not buying it's a genuine picture.
Mm. Issued by Kensington Palace itself after the recent operation and procedures and illness.
Now, one, you need to be a trained eye. I wouldn't have picked that. Well done to them for picking that. I know there's been some social scenes where people are circling the different elements of the picture, but it's an intriguing story. It's casting doubt on the health after the abdominal surgery.
Yeah.
My only question is, would they have been as ruthless on killing other pictures of their own taking if they spotted a flaw in another story that would serve their interests, would they be as quick to do it? Or was the fact that this actually creates...
Yeah.
Like they're creating news by killing the pitcher.
It does. So, well, it furthers the story that furthers all
the story,
is not well.
It drives traffic.
Yep.
It drives clickbait. So did they kill the pitcher because they are obsessed with being fair and independent? Or did they kill the pitcher because in part it did impart that, but also actually triggered their audience? That would be my only cynical question. Maybe I've been around you too long.
That's a fair question to ask. I've got no answer to that. I wouldn't know the answers. And equally, Hutchie, the topic I'm about to introduce, I don't even know if we should raise it. But let's do it, because we often raise it. We get ourselves into trouble at times. Sam Kerr and the police case against her and the layers to it, the racism allegations attached to it. The failure of Sam herself to tell authorities of the sporting bodies that she was even being investigated, and the rhyme and reason behind all of it. I'll let you take it away first. I'll jump in after it.
So my view on this in no order is, first of all, we are very quick to judge. And you often coach this, you know, innocent until proven guilty.
At least get the best versions of both sides as you can as a starting point. Yeah.
So the rush to be outraged last week and to write columns saying Sam Kerr should be stripped of the captaincy and all of those things were naive, and there's a lot of backing the truck up from journalists who were quick to rush at it.
Well, let's deal with it. I think it's easy to deal with in the sporting context first. So can I just, let's deal with it that way. She hadn't given an awareness to the people that she reported to.
No doubt. So
and I think there's an issue there, okay? This is totally removed from the bits that we don't understand.
That is an issue. That's clear.
Yeah.
Like, she did the wrong thing.
And I think the allegation, or not all the suggestions that she should be removed of a position of authority, I think that's a valid argument, regardless.
Because she didn't tell them?
Yeah.
Yeah. She made a clear mistake not telling.
Yeah. And I think that is the one clear part of this. And now I've got no idea about the rest of it.
So the lack of communication is clear. Now, did she in her mind think, this is such a small, innocent, futile charge?
Or it had gone away.
And surely this isn't going to linger any longer. And then it bobbed up in court. She's like, oh, I hope not. Like, you can understand her mindset maybe to some degree. But it was an error not to tell them.
Yep. Yeah, I think we're on the same page there.
Yep. Then I look at the broader claim. Like, she is entitled to think that someone wouldn't take offence to that, like she might in reverse, right? Because she has lived and grown up and has probably been wrongly and shockingly subject to things that should or shouldn't be said about her and her people.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't mean to sound insensitive to older white establishment, because offence is in the eye of the beholder, but it's fairly rare for people who are older and white to be offended by a comment.
Well,
like
this is where I want to jump in, because, again, until it happens, or if it happens, you can only react in that moment. I try to put myself in that situation. I don't believe I would take offence if someone said that to me.
Well 999 out of 1,000 wouldn't, which doesn't make it right either.
No, that doesn't. And that's, yeah.
Yep. And so,
in fact, I wouldn't take offence at it. But we haven't lived a form of racism, aspect of racism.
Well, you know, a presumably white, a Caucasian English policeman hasn't suffered to the degree that Sam Kerr and her people have in their life. So that's, you know, and then you would think that could get resolved inside a year. Like, it's a comment that is not appropriate to say, but certainly not nearly as insensitive or hurtful as I'm sure she's heard in her life. So surely that could have been resolved in a year before. Is that worth really taking someone to court over, would be my view.
Yeah.
So I feel for her.
I'd agree with that.
And then I think people were quick to jump on her in part because of who she is. So I feel for her.
Are you referring to Craig Foster there?
I think a lot of people had a lot to say.
I've tried to keep up with people's views on it, only for the purposes of this conversation we're having now. And he was one that went pretty hard pretty early, and then he spent the last couple of days changing his view and apologising for it and using his own social media accounts to explain why he now has done an about-face on it.
And
I can't quite work out what he did initially and what he's done since, but he's totally pulled back on what he said.
And the question is, if that was Jane Kerr, young English girl, you know, is is this going to court and is it to linger for a year and is it a form of, you know, reverse racism? So I think they're all fair questions. You know, I agree with you that I don't think she should lose the captaincy by any means, but I do think she should be held to account for not communicating and whether that's a suspended, suspended fine. Or
as
something.
A leader, the communication
as a leader. And I'm sure the team will address that because they're a well-run team. But I do feel for her to be judged so quickly by those that didn't know what she said.
Yeah.
When everyone read it, they went, oh, don't you think?
Oh, well, you wanted to know, again, as always, and you do rightly say, I always ask, you want both sides. And we didn't have that initially, did we? We didn't have it. And now we've got to...
Hold your opinion.
We've got
the facts.
What was alleged to have been said, and we now know that her legal people are going to actually deny the actual statement anyway, in the way it was initially presented.
Yep.
They're not going to deny the use of the word white, but they're going to deny another word that was used, which again, changes the context of how we receive it. Equally too, and this is a far lighter issue than, in fact, it's almost a non-comparison, but it's a need to get both sides of a story issue in Mason Cox's moment on the weekend, where for those who don't follow the AFL system, American player, so celebrated that he was on the American 60 Minutes program last year, celebrating and promoting the fact that here this was this American playing in the Australian elite sporting competition, played in a premiership last year, outspoken. I love the way he carries himself in a media sense. Created some carnage, in inverted commas, pre-match when he got himself involved in the training sessions of the opposing team, GWS, and there's now a please explain being asked of him from the AFL. Now, my view on that initially, Hutchie, is if the AFL is going to ask for please explains on such matters, they'll need 100 extra employees upstairs to deal with all the things that go on in football. And I've got a view too. I mean, we laughed about Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce getting rid of Justin Tucker out of their space on the field pre-match one game in the playoffs this year. They just move on, those two guys. Yeah. And Justin Tucker moved on. The NFL moved on, didn't care for it. Why do we need to resolve this?
We don't, but we will, don't we? Like, it's, history says we will. Well, there'll be some...
Statement?
Sanction.
It'll be a statement at least.
There'll be some reprimand or sanction or something. Like, it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be. I agree with you. Like... The theatre of the game and the pageantry of the battle shouldn't never be lost in our quest to be overtly sensitive to everything. And, yeah, look, did it backfire on him in his performance? Probably a little bit.
Well, that's the issue, isn't it? Yeah, he didn't perform.
Let the players govern themselves on these things.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the Giants will soon tell them what they feel and did. And the next time they play, it'll be on again.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Like,
and it's helped build what I think is a beautiful rivalry.
Yep.
Well, I won't say instantly. There's layers to it prior to that. But it's added to it, hasn't it?
Yeah, I thought if you wanted to get fit, like the Giants putting the poster of him up outside near the livestock. I mean, that was technically out of line too, wasn't it?
But, if you want to ask for a please explain on what he did on the ground, well, I think you ask for a please explain why you're making a focus on him. Now, we know the reason for that, because the comments he made about the stadium. But
I thought it was good fun.
Yes, I do.
But he's entitled to walk in and say, well, I was a bit offended. I saw their football and I thought it was ours and I grabbed it back.
Like, well, he's going to argue, well, I think there's an argument that it might have been. But equally too, Hutchie, as we all know, when you go to a game and you watch the players from both teams warm up on the ground, there's no set space that's there. That's yours and that's there. And don't cross that line. It's a hey, listen, we'll take the center now, and maybe pre-arrange, we'll have it for 10 minutes here and you have it for 10 minutes after that, but there's no line that you cannot cross when it's all said and done.
And I've been a bit critical of the Giants for a long period of time, but I sense a bit of a growing up of the footy club. Like, they didn't cop it. They threw some back at him. They made fun of him outside the ground.
It was good.
Brett Daniels gave it back on the Sunday footy show. They filled the venue. They stood for something. I think hopefully that they're about to get their act together.
Yep. I'm going to bring my input to Craig's carry-on today, Hutchie. We don't need a stinger, but I travelled on the weekend for the Brisbane game. And the reason I raise that is I had not flown Qantas, I think, for 2 or 3 years.
Right.
Very good.
You liked it.
I had written them off, like a lot of people, could not talk more highly of them. And I've lost all status there, so I've got nothing to sort of cash in on. I was able to get a plus one into the lounge on the way back. But even without that, that they left on time as best they could. Very friendly, very courteous, very clear in instructions. It's like the old days.
A warming
of Qantas, And I did experience your laptop rule. It's the previous time I flew the week earlier with Virgin, you don't take your laptop out of your bag, do you? Virgin.
I came back from Sydney this morning, though. I got hit with 7 or 8 scenarios on the way through.
And one did get a little bit angry, but that's not Qantas. That's the airport, isn't it? That's not the actual airline.
By the way, someone asked me on the questions this week on Craig's carry on, how to get around the random security check. it's quite easy. For one, they're really bad actors. So they look at you like they've about to lay a big tackle on you when you walk through.
They do.
So you know that before they
even they've got your audience. Yeah, yeah.
Before they even say, "Excuse me, sir, you've been chosen randomly."
They've already chosen you. Yeah.
You know that. So what you got to do then is put the real annoying delay on. Because they lack patience, because they've got terribly...
Well, I've got a theory on this too before you get to this point.
What I do is
They have to tick a box a certain amount of times per hour. That would be on... Yep. Would it be... I mean, you do the numbers and you go through airports. Would it be 15 an hour as a minimum, 20 an hour? And they've just got to...
The legislation will require them.
Yeah.
So then first I do the fumble.
Yep.
Then I do the belt back on and I got the wrong buckle and whatever. And then you do the... You go past. I'm going to take a minute to get myself organised, routine, and then you
wait for someone else to be nabbed.
Check a phone message if you need to, and then start a small talk conversation with someone about the day. You know, what time the plane will go, and by that time, usually the funnel is filled with about 8, 10, 12. They are prepared to steer you down on 4 or 5, but when it gets to about 8 or 9, they just give up and go. Oh, they just find the next person, and then you just do the down the back, and you're gone.
We were asked last week, and we did park it, Hutchie, and we're going to revisit it now. Players aged, it said 25 to 30, let's just say players in the AFL who would be good at media at retirement. So probably those closer to the finish more than early in their careers. But I actually did a little bit of time on this, and I've got a couple of names I want to throw up. Oh, and the man we just spoke about, Mason Cox, is one of them. Mason Cox
is
already
a star. 30, though, isn't he?
Yeah, again, I'd take the age out of it. I just think anyone.
Yep.
I reckon Josh Dunkley from the Brisbane Lions is going to be a star if he wants to be in the media space.
Petrarca.
I didn't have him on my list, but I'd give him a tick. Danger goes without saying.
Yep.
Paddy Dangerfield. Angus Brayshaw, I think, will head down that path now that he's retired medically.
No doubt.
Yep. Little left field one. Mitch Lewis from Hawthorn, I think, is very well spoken.
That is left field.
Yeah. Yep. You haven't given any thought for our listener?
I haven't thought about it at all.
You were asked to be fair. By the listener and also Jordan. Yeah.
I've given it no thought.
No,
to be fair.
That's okay.
I think the talent that come out of Perth and Adelaide generally get, because there's such demand for, like, in those clubs, 15 to 17 of them have got media deals. So they get to 25 and they're all more, like Oscar Allen, for instance. Better on his feet at that age than nearly anybody, because they've had contracts since they're 20 with Breakfast Radio, where they get the cheesy run over. And so that's interesting.
Yep. Peter Jess wrote another article during the week, I saw.
So you spotted this. So Mark Robinson, good story, by the way. New knock for fallen expert perjury probe on AFL's former concussion advisor. No problem with the story.
No.
But when you get down 25 paragraphs...
So the police are investigating on the back of an email sent by Peter Jess. Is that?
Yep.
Read the paragraph for me, please.
Then it says the panel found that did not affect or taint the work of the professor. And then it said concussion activist Peter Jess, who made the allegations via email to
Victoria's
police chief.
There's the story.
Now, if it's Peter Jess claiming it, it's stronger than the fifth column bottom. Did Robbo think we weren't going to spot the Peter Jess reference? Or did the sub-editor go, look, there's a bit of Peter Jess fatigue on this issue. Why don't we move him down the bottom?
But the police investigate on the back of public tip-offs.
Yep.
I don't want to take away the seriousness of the story. The subject of it does need investigation.
As I said, the story is fair and reasonable.
The guy in question, I'm not... casting aspersions, but he does need investigation on a few things. Yes,
but he's got their ear, hasn't he, Peter? Or not there?
I think he's the journalist of the year so far.
He's in the running for the Alf Brown jersey. Yeah. He's in front of Tom Morris. Yeah. Come round one.
Yeah.
Interesting dynamic, by the way, the AFL season launch. So I was there.
So you were there. This is interesting. I wasn't.
Yep.
I was on air.
Yep.
Channel 9 last week had its footy classified back, and I know that the launch was in Sydney.
Sydney?
So you were there.
Yep.
Oh. Well, can you check a few things for me then?
Yep.
I got told. Well, I know this.
I can confirm most of
Tom Brown was there.
Tom was there.
Yeah, Tom retired, but Tom Brown was there.
He was there. And not only was he there, I sensed just a little bit of nostrils. Oh, I could go right now. Sort of.
So was Tom Morris there?
Tom Morris was there. The Masai was there.
Now, did you see those three deep in conversation late because I have had an eyewitness.
No, they were in deep conversation most of the time.
Oh, okay.
There's an uneasy, awkward alliance. You know when you're combative, but you don't let the other person out of your sights. I had a bit of that.
Okay.
I thought Tom had a bit of strut, to be fair.
Tom Morris?
Yeah.
Or Brown?
The shiny new toy. Yeah. I thought Masai's, I think, you know, start to come to terms with the work rate that's going to be required to win. But I believe in him.
No,
I believe
don't.
In him.
Did you speak to him? Because you didn't speak to him for 2.5 years.
My advice to the Masai is this. Don't mix with him. You've got to put,
don't mix
with him.
With Tom?
Yeah.
Ah, right. Even on those forums?
No. Ah. Like, you're in it to win.
Right.
You're not going to... If you're at the season launch and there's 200 football dinners inside,
yep.
And he's there also, he's ranked 201. Not unless everyone else has gone home and you need a lift or the last person to have a beer with, do you talk to him?
Well, speaking
you
of
you got to kill him, Masai.
Speaking
you got to get fair dinkum about the rivalry. And I think Tom has just actually lured him into a false sense of mateship.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a new layer. Did you do that when you were at the peak of your powers?
Well, when Mitho and I were going at it, no talks.
Is that right?
Yeah, no, none.
Yeah,
would barely acknowledge each other if we got out of the same side by side car at the same event.
Oh, see, I like that. That's the way I think football clubs should operate.
It's combative, Damo.
Stuff is be friendly and nice, and they're all great blokes in the opposite. No,
it's eat or be eaten.
I'm like that too.
It's kill or be killed, Damo.
Yep.
So I thought it was far too friendly, and what I want to see, because I believe he can win this, Masai. I believe Tom can win it too. I'll be barring for both of them and switching teams regularly through the year. You got to get some fangs about your Masai.
Now, we told our listeners last week that he was spotted doing a promo, being filmed in a promo, and you said he should have been out chasing a story.
Yeah, but not on Monday.
That promo went to air, and it's equally provocative as Nines was.
Is it about, really?
When Nines was, they may have the football, but we've got the news.
Oh, we got it? Where is it?
No, that was we played that last week.
And where's the
7-1 is, we are football. We're football insiders. We're inside the stadium. They've gone down that path again.
Yeah.
And we get all the big names. And there's vision of all the big interviews they've done over summer. And the bit that was filmed, I think, on the day in question where we were tipped off to it, Mitch is acting, pointing to the cameraman to get that shot.
What I don't understand in those promos, they've been doing them ever since I was there for 20 years,
yeah.
is they take the audience inside the venues.
Yeah.
News doesn't happen inside the venues. Monday to Friday from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. is the battleground.
Yeah.
You don't go near a venue 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday to Friday.
I'm glad you raised that because I also, similar to this, we'll move off the 9v7 issue here, but you know how much I loathe the coaches who wear the club polo with the 14 logos all smattered over it and splattered over
it. I do.
Tucked into a suit pant with a nice leather belt and nice leather shoes. You know, I hate that look. You know what I loathe nearly as much, and this happened recently, footballers wearing football jumpers inside their own house.
Why?
Correct me if I'm wrong. Tim English was interviewed, I think it was by Masai, wearing his footy jumper, the Bulldogs footy jumper, in his own house. Come on.
That's all right.
No,
that's all part. Like, it shows pride.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
Just wear a T-shirt.
I think it's fine. Is there one to finish with, or are we all done here, you reckon?
We might be all done.
Is there one topic left, or we all run out?
You wanted to raise the radio commentators list that was published.
Oh, yeah, I did. Where is that?
It's there somewhere. You sent it through.
So the Herald Sun, which we appreciate, by the way, as a radio industry, I should say, do their list of, you know, who's working the shifts. And I'll go back to the WhatsApp because I did put this in the WhatsApp last week. Who's doing each shift? Here it is. And they run through all the slots, so we appreciate that. So, like, it goes through 3AWs, goes through ABCs, goes through the rubs, goes through the Sunday crunch time for SEN. Very nice of them. Gets to Triple M, right?
Yeah. So I hadn't even read this and I even noticed it, and you sent it through, and then I thought,
A was the last one listed. Okay, that might be just coincidental.
I doubt it.
Callers Luke Darcy, Brian Taylor, James Brayshaw, Mark Howard, Barry Denner, Jack Heverin, Lee Montagna, experts. Jason Dunstall, Nathan Brown, Isaac Smith, Aaron Phillips, etc. Boundary/journalists. Jay Clark, comma, Michael Roberts, comma, Damien Barrett. Last person mentioned.
I'm surprised I was mentioned
dismissed,
by that paper.
Dismissed almost like you're a boundary writer.
I'm surprised I was.
No mention in the experts column. Not mentioned in the start of that list. Jay Clark, who works for them, mentioned at the front of that list. And it was a real dismissive, oh, I guess we've got to write his name, but gee,
I don't think it was in there even last year, so I'm surprised it was actually there, actually.
So that's the scar tissue you've left from your quite ridiculous attacks on them at times on this podcast.
Just have you managed to, you don't miss a thing, Hutch. I've noticed that about you. Even though you're the busiest person in media, you don't miss anything either of other media. Have you managed to get your ears across the James Brayshaw interview on the BT podcast?
I haven't, but I know you're excited about it.
No, I wasn't excited about it.
I wouldn't believe it. James has done an interview.
I listened to it on the plane
you're
over
turtle.
up to Brisbane.
And, let's have a listen.
It was actually good.
Oh, of course it was.
I think there's a warming. I think he's chosen to get in the warming part.
You're his turtle.
He says no. The last time we did an interview was when he filled in for you on this show. He says no to everything.
Yeah, he's done an interview. Amazing.
Yeah, we might be done. Sounding board for DrinkWise.
You
if you're choosing to drink, choose to drink wise.
Thanks for listening to the Sounding Board podcast with Hutchie and Damo. Tune in for questions tomorrow, and to send a question to the boys, email thesoundingboard@sen.com.au, follow the show on Twitter @soundingboardep, and like the Facebook page. It's all thanks to DrinkWise. If you're choosing to have a drink, choose to DrinkWise.